Episode 441 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Hope everybody enjoyed Thomas Vanek yesterday. It was recorded on Wednesday. Hope everybody enjoyed my solo mission that I went on the other day. Just throwing that out. Nothing else comes close to talking to yourself.
I don't think I don't think anybody listened, to be honest with you, but...
but before we get into...
I take that back, buddy. Take it back. I thought you did a good, really good job on your own. I really enjoyed it. Like you, listen. Well, when you basically said to me, you're like, Rivs, don't be mad at me. Rivs, don't be mad at me.
I did.
Go listen to this episode. I'm like, what are you talking about? What episode are you talking about? He's like, just go look. Rivs, don't be mad at me. I listened to it. I thought it was fantastic, bud. I thought you did a really good job. So.
I appreciate that. I love accolades. You know me. I take them so well. Accolades. Last night, accolades. Make-A-Wish. Craig and I were, the last couple of years, you know, Craig and I do a segment every Tuesday on Shred and Raggin' on 97 Rock, and every year they have a radiothon. And the last 2 years that we've been involved with 97 Rock, we have sold a dinner. Chefs has been very generous to donate a dinner for 12 people, and dinner with Craig and I from, you know, so basically it's dinner with the After the Whistle guys. And last year we had a lot of fun. We had, you know, a gentleman bought it, brought 10 people, and we sat around and we watched a hockey game in the French Connection room. And it was a great night. We had a wonderful night, met some great people, and hopefully some fans for life, right? Like that's kind of the goal when you go and do those things. And last night was, without question, a special night last night. A friend of mine, Bridget Williams, generously purchased this dinner through the radiothon back in September. And I don't need to tell you how much she spent on it, but I can tell you that it was significant amount of money. And she decided that she was going to give the dinner back to some of the families that have had to struggle with some of the kids that have gone through the Make-A-Wish program. And so last night, Craig and I, we had dinner with two families and two young boys that have had to deal with cancer, and their siblings came, and Craig and I were there. I brought my son, and Bridget was kind enough to come, and it was an amazing night. I'm really grateful that we were there. I know you had a great night, and I know you don't like to talk about it, but I mean, you could relate to those families a lot differently than I could, because you yourself have had to deal with what they've gone through. So all in all, I just wanted to thank Chefs, thank Make-A-Wish Foundation, and thank Bridget for providing such a memorable evening for everybody. Now on to the Sabres game. After a devastating BU loss to Denver that we were watching, we put on the Sabres game. I mean, to be honest with you, the games don't mean anything anymore. The outcome doesn't matter. It was nice to see Benson get his 10th. Yeah, there were some good things, but I think the one area of focus that is probably the most impressive and most frustrating at the same time was the end of the game. What I can't seem to figure out is why, in a game that means nothing when your season's over, why now? Why now? Why now when Tom Wilson's on the ice? I'm so fucking annoyed this morning when I wake up thinking about this. And the fan base is furious. They're like, it only took him 79 games.
80.
Fuck.
What do you want me to comment on that? Do you want me to...
Is there a comment? It speaks for itself. You know, Don Granato in his post-game press conference, I thought we did a great job locking down the playing in our defensive zone tonight. Game 80. Guys respond to a late hit at the end of a game. I mean, Jordan Greenway drops his gloves with you know, one of the more feared guys in the league. Tage Thompson's beating somebody up. I mean, it's like, what the fuck is going on around here?
Listen, there's a couple things that I think, and when I watch this, it's like what I loved about it was there's actually guys that dropped the gloves. There's actually guys that dropped their gloves. You have Rasmus Dahlin, who reacts off a late hit from TJ Oshie on Tage Thompson. Was it a dirty hit? No. There was 8 seconds left in the game, and he comes in and makes a hit. Dahlin takes it upon himself to give him a little pitchfork and flip him to the ice, which you know there's going to be a reaction from it. But I loved how the boys got in there. I loved how Jordan Greenway identified that one of the toughest, most dangerous guys in this bloody league is on the ice. And what does he do? He doesn't go grab Oshie. He doesn't go grab. No, he goes right for Wilson, which I'm like, oh, my God, thank the friggin' Lord, because he's the one who's going to do the bloody damage to somebody. Okay? Jordan Greenway picked up his big boy pants and went after Tom Wilson. They end up fighting. No harm, no foul. Good stuff. Boom. You got Tage Thompson that gets in there. Gloves are flying. There's two guys that are grabbing Tage because they have six guys on the ice to our five. And let me tell you something. Tage Thompson says, screw you, Pacioretty. You want to do this? Let's go. Gloves are off. Starts throwing a couple uppercuts, you know, trying to punch his.
Tage has definitely seen some video footage of his old man. That's for sure.
Well, shit.
His dad Tage should be fucking crazy.
Listen, Tage's the best player on our team. He's the most offensive player on our team. He's the most dynamic player on our team. But there's nothing wrong with him throwing a fisticuffs once or twice a year. There's nothing wrong with that.
If there's any
this.
Guy that I want him to grab and beat up, it's a Pacioretty.
Sure. It's not
that's
get
exactly
that.
Who you want. It's exactly who you want him beating up.
Exactly. Like, so anyway, Connor Clifton's on the ice there. He's doing what he's got to do. Dahlin's trying to friggin' survive the, you know, guys that are attacking him. But the Sabres boys, they got in there. They did what they had to do. Two fights came out of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it really irritates me. It's almost like I wish it didn't happen. And I'll tell you why.
Same.
It should have happened in fucking day one.
Yeah, I'm with
that
you.
Attitude should have happened on day one, not 80.
But the problem is if you start that on day one, then you gotta continue it.
So what?
Day eight.
So what?
Well, that's
no harm, no foul. Nothing happened there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's
and guess
you and
what?
I
there's
going to
be games
experience.
Where the game's over, okay, and you have the guys on the ice where they're going to be your fourth line guys. So if anything happens, they're going to be the ones dealing with it. They're going to take care of it. If you're up 5-2 or 4-2, send out your fourth line guys that can kill the rest of the game. And if shit hits the fan, then man, that other team's going to get it. We don't have that. We don't have that fourth line. Can't send out a fourth line. We don't have a fourth line that has any semblance of physicality whatsoever. I don't want to hear about Zemgus Kurgans and skating really fast and having energy and he's hitting guys. I don't care. Because Zemgus Kurgansen can't fight his way out of a paper bag. We need guys that literally are highly aggressive, that can maybe kill penalties, that add energy. You want energy players. I don't think Zemgus Kurgansen is the guy that adds energy, because as much as Zemgus hits and Zemgus is a good skater, he doesn't have an element or an ingredient that this team needs, and that's nastiness. It's physicality. When the whistle blows and somebody gets shoved, no, I want raging bulls that just want that see red. You want to screw around, you're going to pay for it. This is the Buffalo Sabres. We're no softies.
That's what you want people to say. Because that's not,
I would demand
what,
it. That's
yeah,
exactly
that's not
what
people say right
listen,
now.
Listen,
so,
Tage Thompson, Tucky, Quinn, Benson, Skinner.
I'd have no problem.
All these
I'd
guys, have, yeah. We need these guys to worry about playing the game of hockey. We need them to be really hard to play against. We need them to grow a bigger set of balls, which I think you get it from having some team toughness.
Yeah, I would have no problem sending my 11-year-old son into a scrum with, you know, a lot of guys on this team. I'm just saying that right now. Just throwing that out there.
All right.
There was a nice milestone last night. One thing happened in the game. Well, one, the Sabres won, which kind of, you kind of almost want them to lose all the games now at this point. Just finish a couple draft spots higher. Doesn't matter. Like two, three.
No, you don't. Because okay. not like, listen,
difference
man.
Difference of opinion. Fine.
I've just said this for years and you agree with me.
I don't, fine.
Okay. I don't want to hear ever losing again.
You're right. I guess I want UPL to get his wins. Sure. You know, but Benson got his 10th, which is something that we were hoping for. That's quite a feat for an 18-year-old kid on a team that's not in the playoffs. Just need to see him get that assist for 30 points. I think that would be an amazing rookie year. Still don't think he should have been here this year. Would have loved to have seen what he would have done in junior and at the World Juniors. But for the circumstances that are that you can't change now, he's had a really good year.
Just goes to show how you know, we're not there yet. Because when you're bringing in an 18-year-old kid, like, I understand Chicago bringing in their 18-year-old, Connor Bedard.
Let's not go down the path of recognizing the fact that there was even a spot here for an 18-year-old kid to make the team.
Okay. Well, okay.
I don't want
to. Reality is, we have to talk about that.
Well, no, we don't, because we've already talked about that at nauseam, okay. And I can't do that. What I want to do is celebrate the fact that the kid just got his 10th fucking goal in a rookie year as an 18-year-old on a I don't want to say a bad team. It's a good hockey team that underachieved.
Yeah, I think this kid could have had 20 more points with his eyes closed with how many opportunities he had in front of the net. He is unbelievable. He is awesome. I'm a big Zach Benson fan, and he had a really good season for a young kid. 10 goals, 29 points, hopefully going to get 30 points. And that is one hell of a year for a young kid at age 18. And the way he played
he hasn't played all the games.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Really, really, like, really.
He has 10 goals, 19 assists in 69 games. So, I mean, he will have missed 10 games. So, I mean, you could chalk on a few more points there anyway. So, I mean, that's 33, 34, 35 points as a rookie and only being -3. It's a really good season for an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know, when we heard he was on the team, we knew it wasn't. When we heard he made the team, we knew that it was not a good thing. It was not a good thing for. It was great for him.
Great for the kid. Not a good thing for the Buffalo Sabres.
Not a good thing for the Buffalo Sabres.
And the youngest team in the league at the time already.
Yeah, and we said that. And I again, like, I don't want to go down that path of reflecting on the negative too much. But you know, you took an unnecessary circumstance and turn it into a positive one. So good for him. You know, I mean, the future's bright for him.
Insanely bright, man. You get him a third line center or wherever they're going to put him next year. Most likely it's going to be on the third line. He needs a veteran centerman that's playing with him. And, you know, we'll see what the winger situation, where he fits in or who fits alongside on that third line. You know, is it a Jordan Greenway or is it someone else? But you know, there's going to be some decisions on trying to make this team the best possible team it can be. And I know there's been a lot of talk, a lot of discussion amongst the players. They're scratching their heads right now. And what more do we have to do? What do we have to do to be, you know, winning it? We've said this 1,000 times, winning in this league is it's very, very easy to lose games. It's very easy, but it's really hard to win. Got to play a right style. Got to have the right system. All players need to be bought in. You need to be team tough. You need to be team responsible. And you have to have your top end players play like top end players. That's it.
Before I move on, I got to just say, I heard a hilarious joke yesterday. Driving down the road and saw my ex. It's funny how I'd hit that changes meaning over the years. How else are you supposed to segue into a Salino Law commercial? If you've been hurt in a car crash, hopefully not caused by your ex, you know what to do. Call Salino Law. Call 888-888-8888.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca.
For all you fight fans out there, UFC 300, watch for free. Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill, Saturday, April 13th, 10 p.m. at the Sports Lounge.
Jay Farrow will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
So they finish off the season in Florida. You got Florida Saturday, Tampa Bay on Monday. Locker room cleanout will be next week. I really highly suggest you listen to our Seneca Side Notes. It is basically about what kind of questions we would be asking if we were allowed in the press conference, and what kind of answers we're looking to hear from the team and the management going forward, and whether or not we think Terry Pegula will be a part of it. That's coming out. That'll come out tomorrow. That'll be Seneca Side Notes Volume 23, I believe. The wild card race in the Eastern Conference is incredible. I don't know if you catch yourself at night now, flipping through the scoreboard, but I do. That game last night for Washington was huge. That's twice Buffalo's done a number on them. I think Buffalo basically ended the Capitals season. Not yet.
Not in the slightest.
No? Okay.
Not in the slightest.
Why
are they out? They have three games left. They're 1 point behind.
If they don't make it, I guess, is what I'm saying, with the last two, because those are two wins that the Capitals should have won if they were a serious playoff contender. Penguins, Red Wings, you said it last night. Everyone gets a point. Penguins get two. Detroit gets one. The Lightning win, but they're in. Devils are done, but they beat the Leafs 6-5. Matthews, 68 goals. Jesus.
Man, Washington has a tough schedule. Tampa Bay, Boston, and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That is not an easy schedule at all. That's very, very tough. Then you have the Pittsburgh Penguins that have Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders.
That Islanders game is going to be huge.
Insane. But Boston? You have Nashville. Nashville's played very well. That is not an easy couple games to end your season. Then you have the Detroit Red Wings. They're in the same position. They're 1 point out. They play Toronto Maple Leafs, and then they play the Montreal Canadiens back-to-back to end their season.
It's a wild finish. And then tonight you have none of those teams play. None of them play. The only Eastern Conference team that plays tonight is the Hurricanes. And then Saturday night, Sabres-Panthers, which that game really doesn't it means a lot for the division.
Yeah.
Florida's trying to win the division. Still, the Atlantic division is up for grabs.
Man, the Islanders, it's just awesome. I just love the team. Like, they were
Islanders Rangers game tomorrow at noon is going to be absolutely insane. The Lightning Capitals, the Red Wings Leafs, the Penguins play the Bruins. Those are all the Eastern Conference games. The West is kind of, you got what? The West is pretty much set. The only team
you take this into account, that you have the Islanders that are in a playoff spot. They have 89 points. They're sitting actually in a division spot. They have 37 wins. You have the Pittsburgh Penguins that sit in the second wild card spot with 37 wins. Washington Capitals, 37 wins. Buffalo Sabres, 38 wins. It's so disheartening because they're so close. But they're just not there yet. They're missing something. I'm sitting there watching the Washington Capitals. I've watched them even when they're not playing the Sabres. And I don't think this team's any good. I don't think they're any good at all. I look at the Detroit Red Wings. I think that they're older. They're an older, much more mature team, but I don't think they're more skilled than the Sabres. I think the Philadelphia Flyers that sit 1 point out of a playoff spot, I look at their team and I look at Buffalo. I would take Buffalo 1,000 times over that team. And it's like, how the hell are the Sabres? I just continue to sit there and go we're there. I truly believe that Kevin Adams needs to realize, and I think he probably does realize, that they are very, very close. They're not only going to, and I don't want to say this either, but they're going to get better by default by just being older and continuing to go through with their younger players playing and then just getting older and stronger throughout the summer and coming back for another year. They're going to get better. But this team is missing key ingredients that I think will change the outlook of this team. Like, what is the identity of the Buffalo Sabres? Do we have an identity on our team?
Yeah, young, youthful skill. That's our identity.
Useful skill, and I have to put in negatively soft. And I'm not talking like, you know, you have to be tough and hard to play against, winning one-on-one battles, being physical. And there's more to the NHL game than just skating up the ice with skill and speed. There's things that happen in the game that you need to be able to react to and, you know, defend yourself, defend your honor, defend your team, defend your teammates, team toughness, team grit, which I think they lack. I'm not asking for more fighters. I'm asking, when Kevin Adams goes to put together a team and he has to make decisions, I think some tough decisions are going to need to be made. Going to need to make tough decisions. Maybe some guys that have been here for a long time, maybe a different style of player. And you got to try and find those guys. I have one guy right now that I was bored yesterday and went on Calf Friendly, did some research. This guy right now that I would literally be all over. Fat kid on a smarty, man.
Do I get to hear who it is?
I'm not going to tell you who it is. But sure. He would be playing on your third / maybe fourth line. He had a really solid season. But we will talk about it when the season's done. When you're,
do you have it written down?
I don't even need to write it down. He was glaring to me when, and you're gonna like him.
You think the Sabres?
Do I think that the Sabres have an opportunity to get him? I would think yes. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's played on a very good team this year. He's probably your third to fourth line type player. He is fast. He's got good size. He's got good aggression to him. He will drop the gloves. He was very, very solid for the team that he played on this year. And he is 27 years old, and he's an unrestricted free agent. He's exactly what this team needs. But he's probably kind of like your fourth line. He's kind of like a Zemgus Girgensen type player, but he has a whole lot of bite and grit to him. And he scored a lot of points this year, too, with goals. But we'll talk about those players when the season's over. And we can have those discussions then, but I just don't want to be discussing that now. The season needs to finish. Hopefully the Sabres finish with two strong wins and they just answer the bell at media time. Obviously going to be answering tough questions yet again.
Players are pissed, man. The players are fucking pissed. I don't care what you say. They're pissed. You can tell they're pissed. You can tell they're unhappy. And I think they deserve answers, too, from their general manager. I think your star players should be really pissed off that your general manager didn't go and do anything. You know what he did? Gave you guys your money. Now you know what he needs to do? He needs to go and support you guys with the right type of players. And they should be pissed about that. Should be really pissed about that.
Well,
because you think Dahlin just signed an 8-year deal for $11 million just for the simple fact to sit here and make 8 years to make $11 million for 8 years? That's great. But you need to start going surrounding these guys with some players to help them. Simple as that. If I were a star player on this team, I would be furious. I would be absolutely furious that the fact that your general manager had left you hanging last year with nobody to support you. Have a great weekend, everybody. That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for all events going on through April and May. Check it out.